Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, Shloka 26, 27, and 28 have no purport. So we're just going to read them. And 29th has got the purport. Kuranga kurar kusuma vaikanaka trikuta sira sa patanga ruchaka nishara sinivasa kapila shankavai durya charudhi hamsa rushabanaga kalanjara naradadayo vimsati gorayo girayo mero karnikaya eva kesara bhuta mula desha paritala upaklipta. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. There are other mountains beautifully arranged around the foot of Mount Meru, like the filaments around the whorl of a lotus flower. Their names are Kurmanga, Kuranga, Kurara, Kusumba, Vaikanka, Trikuta, Shishira, Patanga, Ruchika, Nishada, Sinivas, Kapila, Shanka, Vaidurya, Charudhi, Hamsa, Rishabha, Naga, Kalanjara, and Narada. Text 27. Chatara Devakutau Merum Purven Ashtadasa Yojana Sahasram Udagai Yatau Dvi Sahasram Pratatungau Bhavata evam aparena pavira pariyatram dakshinenam kailasha karavirau prag ayatav evam utaratas trishringa makarav ashtabir etai parashuto gnair eva paritas Chakasti Kanchanagiri. On the eastern side of Sumeru Mountain are two mountains named Chatara and Devakuta, which extend to the north and south for 18,000 yojanas, 144,000 miles. Similarly, on the western side of Sumeru are two mountains named Pavan and Pariyatra, which also extend north and south for the same distance. On the southern side of Sumeru are two mountains named Kailash and Karavira, which extend east and west for 18,000 yojanas. And on the northern side of Sumeru, extending for the same distance east and west, are two mountains named Trishringa and Makara. The width and height of all these mountains is 2,000 yojanas, 16,000 miles. Sumeru, a mountain of gold, solid gold, shining and as brilliantly as fire, surrounded by these eight mountains. 28. Meru Murdani, Bhagavata Atmayonir Makata Upakliptam Purim Ayutayojana Sahasrim Samachatur Chatur Ashram Shatakumbhim Shatakumbhim Vedanti. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. In the middle of Mount Sumeru is the township of Lord Brahma. Each of its four sides is calculated to extend for 10 million yojanas, 80 million miles. It's made entirely of gold. Therefore, learned scholars and sages called it Shatakumbhi. This is actually the last sloka of this chapter. Tam anuparito loka palanam ashtanam yatha desham yatha rupam turiya manina puro ashtav upakliptam Tam, that great township named Brahmapuri. Anuparita, surrounding. Lokapalanam, of the governors of the planets. Ashtanam, eight. Yatha disham, according to the directions. Yatha rupam, in exact conformity with the township of Brahmapuri. Turiyamanina, by measurement only 1/4. Pura, townships. Ashtau, eight. Upaklipta, situated. Translation of Purport by Sri Srimad A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Surrounding Brahmapuri in all directions are the residences of the eight principal governors of the planetary system. Beginning with King Indra, these abodes are similar to Brahmapuri, but are 1/4 the size. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur confirms that the townships of Lord Brahma and the eight subordinate governors of the planetary systems beginning with Indra are mentioned in other Puranas. Mero Navapurani Sur Manovati Amaravati Tejovati Samyamani Katha Krishnangana Pura Pura Shraddhavati Gandhavati Tathachanya Mahodaya Yashovati Chabramindra Vayadinam Yathakramam. Translation. Brahma's township is known as Manovati, and those of his assistants such as Indra and Agni are known as Amaravati, Tejovati, Samyamani, Krishnangana, Shraddhavati, Gandhavati, Mahodaya, and Yashovati. Brahmapuri is situated in the middle and the other eight puris surrounded in all directions. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta Purport to the 5th canto, 16th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Description of Jamudvip. Vrindavane Vramanareti Prasiddha Bhumo Tatrapi Krishna Balarama Supadi Mule Gyanam Param Parama Krishna Sudharma Chuktam Dandastu Deva Prabhupada Namo Namaste Samasaru Tukka Jaladau Putitasya Kama Krodadi Nakrama Karai Kavali Kritasya Durvasana Nikaritasya Narasrayasya Chaitanya Chandrama Matehi Padavalabham Jaladara Shashivarno Gopavesha Kishoro Saha Chara Gunavindai Kridamana Vrajesho Natabara Jitavesho Nilapitam Bharatyo Jagata Janadahi To Ramakrishna Tosmi Panchakalpatrubhyascha Kripasandabhivacha Patitanang Pavine Bhu Vishnavi Bhu Namunama Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, achintya kalo ye bhava natam starkena yojayat. So, if something is inconceivable to our mental conception, there's no use in arguing about it. So, one moralist, French moralist, says, people don't argue with their own evidences, but they do find fault and argue with yours. So when you try to convince somebody, better to convince somebody first on their position. Then try to swing them around to your conception. That's the idea. So, I remember back in the 70s that when the Fifth Canto came out, we were distributing it in the airports. I remember in the evening working O'Hare Airport and distributing Fifth Canto and telling people, this will really blow your mind, you know, like that. Because basically, it is inconceivable. Achintya, you can't really fathom the Fifth Canto. So many people try. My god brother, who left his body, the scientist, he tried. Dhanavir Maharaj also has written a commentary on the Fifth Canto, trying to understand it from modern science points of view, like that. It's because, as my godbrother Urjit Swat said, excuses are like elbows. Everybody's got two. And these guys, he's a temple commander in Los Angeles in 75. Temple commander's got to get the work done, you know. So he says, excuses are like elbows. Everyone's got two. And these guys are so damn puffed up, they got four excuses. I had a Sangirtan leader, Mahamuni Das. God, he must be pushing 70 now. Old. And he says, opinions are like rear ends. Everybody has one. And it's so, you know, it's not easy to convince people about your opinions. The thing is this, that what is the use of our opinion if it is not based on Shastra? Anumana, logic, means anu, following, manaha, opinion. The opinion that follows what? It follows the Sanskrit. If you have the Sanskrit, you have an opinion. If you don't, you have manaso jati, you have mental speculation. And nobody gives a damn for that, really. So, people try, because it is there in the Fifth Canto. It is there in Srimad Bhagavatam. It is written by, compiled by Vyasadeva. And everything is point to point. Everything is measured. Yet, even though so much description is given about measurement, exact measurements, it is still achintya. It is beyond our mentality to understand it. If, just like, for example, where the jiva came from, the fall of the jiva, where the jiva came from. Some people really like to crack their brains. You know, we came from the tatastha, from the shore of the spiritual world and material world. Some people say we came from, emanated from Baladeva. And some people mention that we came from the Brahma Jyoti, like that. Irregardless of where we came, we're here now. And we got to get out of here. You know? We shouldn't stay here now. So basically that's it. So Prabhupada was talking about, oh, who cares where we came from? There's a nyaya, a logic called kakatal fal nyaya. The logic of the crow and the tal fruit. So one person says, no, the crow landed on the fruit and the fruit was ripe, so it fell down. No, because the weight of the crow landing on the fruit, it fell down. Whether the fruit was destined to fall down due to the weight of the crow or because it was ripe, the bottom line is it fell down. What are you going to do about it, you know? People ask you, where are you from? So all the time, you know, on the train of people, when everybody asks me where I'm from, I say, if you know, is it going to fill your belly? No, it's not going to fill your belly. Then what is the use of the knowledge? How is it going to benefit you? So intellectually, it's not practical, but It stimulates the intelligence. That's the idea of studying Bhagavatam. Now, Bhagavatam study has to be practical. How is it going to influence your life? So, what do we get out of this? We get out of following our previous teachers, our previous acharyas. That's what we get out of it. And if it improves your faith in the previous acharyas, commentary, like that, then that should have effect on your, it's called anugrayam. It is following. Anugatya. You're following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. That's the point. So if their tikka, if their commentary in Bhagavatam, Sridhar Swami's God Pavart the Tipika, Radha Govinda Maharaj and his brother Radharaman Swami, they have a bag and they put it on their shoulder and it contains Bhavart the Deepika. Gita Preskarakpur Bhavart the Deepika. And if anybody asks them any question, they can open Bhavart the Deepika and find out what Sridhar Swami says on the spot. And they just carry it with them everywhere they've got. Most of the time I see them with it. I didn't see Radharaman Maharaj with it in Kumbh Mela. Because in Kumbh Mela it's a land of nothing but sand and sand and more sand. And, I got my trousers ripped off, there. And people lose their dhoti there. And, so Maharaj, if he had a side bag with Bhavartha Deepika, he probably left it in his room. If he carried it with him, he'd probably get it stolen. But in Vrindavan, I always see him with it. He's always got it. He's always got Bhavartha Deepika with it. Because what is the use of our opinion? We want to hear the opinion of the Tikka Acharyas, the commentators on the Bhagavatam. Their opinion counts. So, and their opinion opens doors to what is logic for us. What makes sense to us. That's the point. So, it's good. And one commentator generally follows another commentator, but they shed light on different things, different points, which makes it more interesting. First thing is, what does Sridhar Swami, the original commentator of Bhagavatam, what does he say? Then the next one is Sridhar Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, because he's the Rasika Acharya, he's the relisher. What does he say? Then, what does Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur say? Then after that, Jiva, what will he say? And if it's the 10th canto, then you've got Vaishnava Toshini Tikka by Sanatan Pad. What will he say? And there's 10th canto has got God. Must have at least 10, 12 commentators. And the rest of the Bhagavatam, only about 4. You got Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's Tikka. You've got Bhavartha Deepika. You've got Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wrote one. And I think Jiva. You don't have many. You've gone about 4 for the rest of the Bhagavatam. And the 10th canto is the shining face of Krishna. You've got about 12 commentators. So, another one I think is Subodhani. Balabhacharya wrote one. Subodhani Tikka. So, all of them have to follow. All of them do follow Sridhar Swami. Like that. Basically, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a story when Balabhacharya met Gauranga and said, I have a commentary better than Sridhar Swami. And he goes, if you don't care for the husband, Swami, then you must be a prostitute. He says, if you follow Sridhar Swami, then you've got something. People will accept your commentary. I don't know if Srila Balabhacharya, if he adjusted his or I don't know. I have no idea what happened henceforth. After that, I have no idea. Now, it is exact. And all this stuff that is achintya, whenever disciples would write Prabhupada questions about it, we said, oh, just wait till you go there. Wait till you go to the heavenly planets and you'll see. So, in one sense, very opulent abodes of the demigods are described. They've got their temporary abode, just like somebody's got their permanent abode and their temporary abode. You know, you have your summer house that you hang out with in the summertime, like that. You have your winter houses. So it's not surprising that rich men in this world have, you know, 4, 5, 6, 10 houses in different places of the world. So it's not surprising that the demigods are very wealthy, very powerful, that they've got more than one accommodation that they stay in. And naturally, they have their followers, anugas, who hang out and stay in their different places like that and serve them like this. So it's good. So in Gita it says, Yante Deva Vrata Devan. If you want to, you can go to where the demigods are. Pitran Yanti Pratri Vrata. Or you can go to where the ancestors are. Bhutani Yanti Bhute Ja. If you worship the ghosts and spirits, you go to where they are. And Yanti Mad Yajano Pima. Those who worship me will achieve me, will stay with me. So basically that's it. Now, we're servants of Radharas Bihari, Gornitai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, and the servants of our spiritual master, and the servants of the holy name. Where does this leave us? So, Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Punar Avartanar Juna Mavapetitu Kunteya Punar Janmana Vidyate. Any place of the material world, from the highest planet down to the lowest planet, are the sources of misery in this world. But one who attains me never takes birth again. Our business is to achieve Lord Krishna. Our business is to please Lord Krishna with our Seva Bhava. Then we'll go with them. When Krishna was departing from this world, then all the demigods were waiting in the firmament. As Krishna and Dauji left their pastimes in this world to go back to their Goloka. So every demigod was hoping that they would stop and stay and visit them. But they went onwards to their abode of Goloka. So it's the same thing. We should not waste our time taking pit stops, halts on their journey to these heavenly planets. Or these places where we're very, very opulent, our residences. But rather, because there's birth and death there. Granted, in the heavenly planets, one lives a very long duration of life, 6 times longer than those on this planet, and one enjoys one's senses a lot, and ladies get pregnant only at the very last year of their life, then they'll have a child. It's like that. Because, and people are living in fragrant gardens, Nandankanan. And, but in any place, what is important is Tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam shudyat tasmat brahma sokyam tvanantam. That we should have to perform divine austerities by which our nature is purified and will taste spiritual happiness. Tvanantam, which is unlimited. So sometimes we go there. Just like in Padma Purana Srishtikanda Tosi Stava, it mentions about this. Rabata tapasa vridyai tulasim tvam namamyaham sarva bi deva patni bi kinarai chapi nandane. That the Tulsi Devi is sown to increase austerity. And the wives of the demigods and the kinaras are half man, half horse living entities, are worshipping Tulsi in the heavenly planets. Why? So that they would increase their pious credit so that they can stay there in the heavenly planets with their husband. That's their idea. So, And Tulsi Kavachaman mentions the same thing. Svargaya, svargamechatam. Those who need swarga, the heavenly planets, she can award that. She's moksha pradayani. She's amritatva pradayani. She's a big liberator. I have Sanskrit from different places. She's a big liberator. Tulsi Devi likes to liberate people. What is liberation? There's spiritual liberation and mundane liberation. Mundane liberation is when the kids are asleep. Or one's liberated from one's anxiety. Or one's liberated from some debt. You know, that's called a mundane liberation. Spiritual liberation is mukti hitva anyata rupam swarupena vyavastiti. Liberation means when you give up your any other conception, you attain your original conception. So hearing and chanting means in this world, we hear and chant in such a way, so fida, something is useful. Kya fida, something is useful. We'll attain our eternal relationship with Krishna. That's the point. We're doing sadhana, sadhana iti sadhana. Our practices, spiritual practices, is our eternal wealth. We're doing that to develop a taste. In Mukunda Mala Totra by Kulashekara Raja is there a verse. It's in the BBT. This is the BBT edition. It says, Bhave Bhave Hridaya Bhavane Bhavayayam Bhavantum. I'm worshipping your lotus feet to get attachment to your lotus feet, birth after birth. That's the whole point of sadhana. Sadhana iti sadhana. We're doing our spiritual practices, which is our eternal wealth, to develop bhava, a little emotional attachment for the Supreme Lord's lotus feet. That's all. And by that attachment, he'll take us back to his abode. He'll take us back to where he is. Our business is to love them, and their business is to facilitate us, protect us, and support us. And Krishna has got Svaitra Siddha Shakti, Vishwanath says. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti says. Whatever he wants gets done. So Krishna's much more efficient than we are. We're very chunchal. We're very, very flickering. But Krishna, he makes a decision, he puts his foot down, end of story. It's done. Tulsi Rani's the same thing, actually. You know? Whatever she wants gets done. So, how do we get it? We have to beg them. That's all. And man proposes, God disposes. So the point is this, that we may ask. It doesn't mean we're going to get it. Some people, they tell you that so many things. Sometimes they write so many things. This problem, that problem, the other problem. Whatever it is, just beg her. Beg Tulsi Rani for it. If it's not coming, then you have to beg a little more. You have to beg them a little more. We're not sincere enough. Just like in Gayatri Mantra Artha Deepika. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, the light that shines the light on the Kama Gayatri. So the Kama Gayatri, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes it as 24 and a half moons. That's the idea. So Srila Vishwanath says, I count it as 25 syllables. What is the use of my life? I can't understand it. My previous acharya, Krishnadas, must not have been wrong. So at 11 o'clock at night, he's in Radhakund, he decides to fast and give up his body. Now Sriji Radharani doesn't like that very much, that her servants are going to do that. So she came in his dream and gave him the pramana, told him exactly where to find the evidence he needed. She said, that such and such vyakarana, grammar book, you'll find the rule. There's, when a consonant is followed by a vowel, it becomes a half syllable. She says, now in the morning at 6 o'clock in the morning, you go to the library, find this vyakarana grammar book, and you'll find the rule there. Now, give up your lamentation, and fasting now. She insisted, 11 p.m. You give up your lamentation and your fasting right now, she insisted. Now, it was very interesting, this story that Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur describes. We have to burn. The desire in the heart has to burn. When it burns and we beg them, then they'll come and they'll give us the pramanam and make your day. Why it's not coming? Maybe you're not begging enough. It's up to them, nah. You're not begging them enough. If they, you know, they can give anything. Vidyaya Vedavadinam. Tulsi Upanishad said, she gives knowledge to the seekers of knowledge. If she wants, she'll give it. Krishna wants, he'll give it. If Radharani wants, she'll give it. They're not going to leave their devotee high and dry. In 10th canto, a 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, verse number 11, Tesham evana gampartam ahama gyana jam thama nashayami atma bhavas to gyana dipena bhashvata. Out of compassion for them, I dwelling within their heart, destroy with a shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. So, Prabhupada says sometimes a devotee doesn't have time to associate with the spiritual master or read the books of the spiritual master. But if they're sincere, Krishna will personally eradicate the ignorance within the heart. And he does that, Krishna does that with everybody. Nanunata pungsam in the Sanskrit. Nanunata pungsam means Krishna does it, it's his company policy. He does it every time. He does it to everybody, no matter who they are. So one doesn't have to be, of course it helps, an advanced devotee. It helps. But basically Krishna is Surida Sarvabhutana, the friend of every living entity. So he'll come and he'll give intelligence, instruction. That's his kindness. There's a few other things that you can do to amplify it, to make it a little better. Your ability to be perceptive. Prabhupada comments that if there is receptivity, then there'll be fruit. Just like a lady and her husband. If the lady is fertile, the lady is receptive, and the husband is fertile, there will be a child. Like that. So it's the same thing, Prabhupada said. If we're ready, if we're amiable, and the Vedas and are potential, then there will be fruit, result. That's the idea. So, anukulyasya sankalpa, pratikulya vivarjita. If something is favorable, we offer that to Krishna. And pratikula vivarjita. If something is not favorable, no matter what it is, we give it up. So we have to offer everything to Krishna. Then everything becomes nice. Otherwise, not. So in the same way, all these descriptions are here about the heavenly planets and the mountains, etc., in Jambudvip. And that's all very nice. And it's very exact information is given. So, we have Shraddha. We don't have a problem with it. But what the Vaishnavas are trying to do, my godbrother, departed scientist, he presented one idea how to match the fifth canto with modern astrophysical heavens. And Dhanavir Maharaj also wrote another one. The point is that what they're trying to make people to have faith in the Vedas, that our acharyas were not foolish, our acharyas were not wrong, Srila Vyasadeva was not wrong. That's the idea. We don't have a problem with it. Now we have to present it to the public. So that was the idea. Now, what goes in the heart is what we apply. So memorization is really neat, and especially when you sing it. So it's very neat. I remember I was asking one old sannyasi I ran into in Lloyd Bazaar once, how do you sing the fifth canto? He said it's prose. You don't, you just read it. Prose is something that is not sung. Everything else in Bhagavatam has a meter, different meters, and meters are sung, but not prose. Prose is just written like that, and you're supposed to just read it like that. That's what prose is about. Hare Krishna, Jai Gaurantai, Radharaspi, Hare Lili, Tibishaka, Sitaram, Lakshman, Hanumanji, Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. Anybody have any question? Yes, Prabhu.
There are four types of Vaishnava liberation, Vaishnava Mukti, Sarupya, excluding Sayujya. There are four Vaishnava liberation. So are they desirable?
The four destinations.
No, four types of Vaishnava liberation.
Four types of liberation.
Excluding Sayujya Mukti.
Sayujya, excluding.
Excluding Sayujya, there are four Vaishnava Mukti.
Yeah.
Are they desirable for a devotee? Should we desire for it?
Srila Rupa Goswami describes in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that devotees don't ask for liberation, but for the Lord's service, a devotee can accept the four kinds of liberation. Can accept it. For Krishna, everything is anukulya, if it is favorable for Krishna's service. Then if Krishna offers it, then we're ready to accept it.
Because services are available in this mukti. Services are available in this mukti. In Vaishnava mukti, the devotional service is available. So we can accept that, no? Samipya, Salokya, Sarupya.
Yeah. I don't understand the question.
We get devotional service in that mukti. So that is acceptable, no?
Is it on?
The devotional service is available in four types of Vaishnava mukti. So it is good to accept any type of mukti, no? That time.
Is what?
Is that the liberation, in liberation, means condition, devotional service, if someone wants to, because of Krishna, Krishna wants his devotee to serve him in that condition, means liberation state.
Mm-hmm.
So, they can, means devotees can accept that also.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, the same thing he is repeating, he is saying this thing only. And it's not a question, just you explain it, and he's
repeating
the same thing.
All right. Yeah. Mukti hitva nyatha rupam swarupena vivasati. Now, what is that? It's the original condition that Krishna wants you to be in. It's interesting. Krishna is very, very clever fellow. So when you pray to him, you say, my dear Lord, you can do whatever you want, but please drag us to your lotus feet. So Krishna does it in so many ways. It's interesting. In 5th canto, chapter 19, verse number 27, quoted in Chaitanya Charitamritam, the Sanskrit is satyam dishatyartato artato nirnam naivartato yat punar artato yatha svayam vedate bhagavan anichatam ichapidana nijapada pallavam. If a devotee approaches the Supreme Lord for the fulfillment of some material desire, He undoubtedly does so, but not in such a way that will cause the devotee to come with a bigger list. But without being asked by his devotee, he readily gives the shade of his lotus feet. And by that shade, the devotee gives up his material desire. So basically, that's interesting. Krishna is very clever. It's interesting. What are we going to get? We're going to get whatever Krishna wants to give us for our purification. Either a temporary facility, a temporary situation, or some liberation in some other place. We'll be whatever Krishna wants to put us for his service. That's the idea. And usually what the devotee gets, you know, you're reading in Ekadasi Mahatmyam or so many other places. Usually what the devotee gets is usually much better than they ever dreamt of, you know, they could ever conceive of. So simply by chanting Hare Krishna and just plugging along in devotional service, we get an amazing fruit beyond our desires, beyond our dreams, beyond our conception.
One more question. If we remember Tulsi Devi at the time of death instead of Krishna, shall we be reaching the Goloka?
She gives. The thing is this, that no upachara, no offering to Krishna is successful without her. So her business is to offer us to her Lord. So even if you think of her, it's not a big deal. Because she is your authority. She'll give you to somebody. Just like, for example, it's described that when the Sri Vaishnavas were asking Lord Shiva if he gives liberation, he says no. But actually, the Puranas state that Lord Shiva does give liberation. Now how? It's described that his bhakta, at the time of his death, if he's meditating on Lord Shiva, Lord Shiva speaks Rama's name in his ear. So Rama's name in his ear liberates a person. So this is how Lord Shiva does give liberation. It's interesting stuff. So Tulsi Rani will also, her business is to purify us and offer us. Now a very mystical shloka in Pundarik Das's Tulsi Stotram, shloka number 7. Very mystical. He says, Talosya na paramakin chid daivatam jagatitale yapavitrato loko Vishnu sangena Vaishnava. In this world amongst worshipable personalities, nothing better than her. Because of her, she offers, she purifies the people and offers us to her Lord and turns the whole world to Vaikuntha. Now, I thought, the Sanskrit Acharya could not have written that in Sanskrit unless it must be there in the Puranas. So that's one thing. Krishna makes the devotee's words true, but the devotee also minces his words. He's very careful. They're not going to ask for something impossible. It's going to be doable, you know? And if the devotee says something, then it has to be in the Puranas. Now, another name that really set me off, the 108 names of Tulsi, one name set me off as significant was Satya Sandhyai. That which is promised, she is truthful to. If it is promised in the Vedas, she will uphold it. You know, so she can do like that. And she offers everything to Krishna. She offers us to Krishna, she offers everything to Krishna. So it's not a big deal. Now, she is within everyone's heart. Sarvage. She knows everything. Like that. Purushottama Valabe. She is the lover of the highest person. So even if we think of her, then she will give us Krishna.
Thank you very much.
I mean, that's her nature. You know, her nature is that her whole time she's been purifying us and giving us Krishna. So, the same thing, you know. And it's not like we should think of Guru Maharaj, we should think of the deity, We should think of Tulsi Rani. It's not like it's separate. It's just, no, it's interesting. Another interesting shloka is that her service is an anga, a limb of devotional service of the deity. So it means her service is part of deity worship. It's not like it's something separate. Her service. It's not like something separate. No, it's a part of deity worship. By serving her, by loving her, by thinking of her, the deities are happy. In fact, everywhere around the world we see that she's got the shaft. I was saying we should complain to the women's ministry that the most harassed lady in ISKCON has to be Tulsi. You know, her greenhouse is broken or something like that. The deities are doing good. And her accommodation, her service is lacking. When actually it's the other way around. If the spouse of the Supreme Lord is better, treated better than Krishna's, Krishna will stay. Krishna's happy, you know. Otherwise, Krishna's not happy. So it's, and when I found the Sanskrit that her service is an anga, a limb of Krishna's service, that is an eye-opener. That is a really an interesting point of view. She's a very smart girl. She purifies us and gives us Krishna, no matter what, beyond what we deserve. It's very interesting stuff. Now, a well-wisher, a parent, she is Jagannatha. She is the mother of the universe. So, in this material world, our biological parents are basically stuck with us. It's not what the parents hope the child will be. It's what the child is. And the parents just basically, they have to dance and try to make the best use of a bad bargain, you know, to do something with the kid. But if you want to serve Lord Hari, and your karma will not allow it, if Tulsi Rani wants, you get it. Beyond your karma. And that is literally astounding. It is literally game-changing. By loving her, by serving her, literally, if she's pleased, she can hand you Krishna on a platter. Just like that. It's amazing. It's actually astounding. Therefore, Pundarik Das is nothing higher than her. It is very mystical verse. But I thought, he wouldn't say in Sanskrit unless it's true in the Puranas. Reverse engineering means you find it, how it's true. One girl, one botanist, Ishana, she's really good. If ever I have to questions about bugs, oh man, she jumps. Ah, she's 50 years old. She's not a very much of an email lady. But if I have a question about Tulsi and bugs, oh man, she jumps. She's very efficient and very quick and very like that. So she responded to this. Tulsi na param kinchit? Of course it's true. Guru Maharaj gave us Tulsi Rani. Some people say that Prabhupada never gave us everything, but he gave us Tulsi Rani, so he didn't give us everything. Basically it is. Yeah, it's interesting. I included her comments, but still, we need more. We need more evidences as time goes on. We need more evidences. What we have in our sampradaya, in our school, is okay for our institution, but what about the rest of the institutions and people of the world? We need Sanskrit, Pramanam. We need more of it. So we'll have to find out more. But basically, it's not like separate. By thinking of her, she hands us Krishna. You know? So it's not such a big deal. It's not such a big deal. We're thinking of her at the time of death. It's not such a big deal. She'll hand us Krishna. Like Lord Shiva. You know, one devotee is thinking of Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva is speaking Rama's name in his ear. Liberating the person, you know. So it's the same thing, you know. It's the same kind of thing, you know. The spiritual master, Rudra, you know, or Tulsi Rani, their business is the same. To give us Krishna, you know. Their business is like that, you know. And what kind of Krishna are they going to give us? They're going to give us exactly the Krishna we want, and we deserve, and we need. It's like they always ask me the same stupid question, you know. In Tulsi Pranam Mantra, is it Vishnu Bhakti or Krishna Bhakti? Come on. She's a smart girl. She knows what you're thinking of. My Giriraj, my Radha Krishna, my Nrisingadev, my Jagannath Baladev Subhadra. She knows exactly who you're thinking of. She's a smart girl. She got it figured out. Like that. But actually, Prabhupada told Govinda Dasi in a letter in 1970 that this mantra was Vishnu Bhakti. So that's okay, Guru Pramanam, that's okay for our institution. All right. But it still didn't satisfy us. We need the Sanskrit for everybody else. We do need the Sanskrit for everybody else, you know.
I'm so grateful to you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. This Tulsi might be together. It might be one Tulsi with two branches, or it might be two Tulsis in one pot. Size is not so much. Pujaris can separate it at the time of transplanting. They need some special ingredients. They need root hormone, and they need wilt proof to stop her from wilting. You know, they've got that and a lot of experience, then they can transplant. You shouldn't have too many Tulsis in one pot. One per pot is good. Anyway, this might have been two. It also goes to show you be very, very, very careful with Tulsi seeds, or like poppy seeds, you know. Be very careful when planting them. Make sure you plant only one, because you can get many. If you scatter it, you can get many seeds growing in one pot. And that is a big mess. I remember in South Africa, when Tulsi Manjari, ripe Manjari, fell down, okay, and produced a lot of plants. And there was like 100 Tulsi plants. And it was in April before the frost hit, because it's the southern hemisphere. And so the devotee, Krishna Kripa Das, said, what am I going to do with 100 Tulsi plants? And he goes, well, you're going to at least cut the Manjaris in the future. That's what you're going to do. And, you know, not all of them stayed. Most of them left, you know, but at least, you know, he gives it a good shot. He's going to try. What am I going to do with 100 Tulsi plants? And they said, well, at least you're going to keep the Manjaris cut. That's what you're going to do. Hare Krishna. Or kuch? No. Hare Krishna. There's no question. No other further question. Hare Krishna. Jai Radha Rasmi Hare Ki Jai.